Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 to 23. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 to 23. Now the Bible says, For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Now, on the surface, these don't look like much. But God never has anything in the Bible that doesn't look like much. Well, some things may not look like much, but he never has anything in the Bible that isn't much. There's always plenty to everything that God says. And when Agur writes these three verses here and records what he says, there's something very prophetic about what he said. Just the same way as there was a lot prophetic about the verses we studied concerning the eagle and the serpent, the ship and the man. Now, on the surface, it may not look that way, but that's what's going on here. And before I get into this particular lesson in more detail, let me say this. I thank God for the training that I received in the Bible. I really do. When I finally surrendered to do the Lord's work and left the banking business to go into the ministry, the first thing I did was go off to school to train. And I went to a small school in Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola Bible Institute, and I trained under a fellow that's still alive today. He's a drill instructor in hand-to-hand combat in World War II. God gifted this man with an ability to really understand the Bible because he trusted what God had already recorded for us in the English language in the Authorized Version, and because he trusted the Holy Spirit to teach him, and because he trusted that his calling was to teach men the Bible so that we could go and preach and teach the words of God. So I'm very fortunate there. I'm very fortunate there because when you see what you're going to see today, you're going to maybe scratch your head and say, now how in the world did you come up with that? Well, it's always from cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture, but you got to remember, rightly dividing the word of truth often means landing on the right verses. And I thank God for that man, and I thank God for the school, and I thank God for the training, and I thank God for the opportunity to impart to you things that I learned. Now, don't think it's strange when you hear me do that. You give credit where credit is due, but don't think it's strange because that's been the process throughout the ages. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul taught Timothy, and Timothy taught somebody who taught somebody who taught somebody who taught that fellow that taught me. In other words, the proper order for this thing is for you to study and read and pray and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and understanding. But God did leave pastors and teachers in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, for the edification of the saints and the work of the ministry and the strengthening of the body of Christ. And so these things that you're getting come from cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture, but they also come from good training. And just keep that in mind, and now you're getting it, and you can pass it along to somebody that you have a chance to teach. And pray God will continue to use this. What you're reading here is prophetic. All right, and I'll show you how it turns out. The earth can't bear these four things. The earth is disquieted for these four things. And the first thing is a servant when he reigneth. Now, a servant's not supposed to reign. You know, in the line of Christ, you go all the way back to David. Well, David's son was royalty, Solomon. He reigned. Solomon's son, or David's grandson, Rehoboam, was royalty. He reigned. And so, throughout all the time of the kings, there is royalty on the throne. Those guys aren't servants. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, I'll show you. The first time that a servant has a chance to get to the throne is right after the death of Solomon. concerning the 10 northern tribes. Rehoboam only gets the 2 southern tribes. Jeroboam gets the 10 northern tribes. He is a servant. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, and you'll see what happens when a servant gets on the throne. All right, 1 Kings chapter 11. Look in verse 25. Well, we'll go down here to verse 23. God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruiah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. And then what happens is that God then shows you the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite over Jeroboam, giving him the control of the 10 northern tribes. But he is Solomon's servant. And God gave Solomon's servant that throne because Solomon went after the gods of Ashtoreth and Chemosh and Milcom and like that, see, with those strange wives that he had. Now, when Jeroboam took the throne, you know what he did? He became concerned that the men in his kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, would return to Jerusalem on the 3 times that men were to return to Jerusalem to worship in the tabernacle there or in the temple there. He was concerned they would go down there and stay. So what he did is he made 2 golden calves in 1 Kings chapter 12. And one of those calves he set in Bethel, the house of God. That's where Jacob saw Jacob's ladder on the way toward Laban, where God appeared to him, Bethel. And he put the other calf in Dan on the northern side of his kingdom. And then he said, okay, I'm going to prepare a feast here on the 15th day of the 8th month, not the 7th month like the Feast of Tabernacles, but on the 15th day of the 8th month, y'all come and worship these calves. Well, let me tell you something. Those 2 calves became sins in Israel, and every king after him was led into the same sin, so that when he died, oftentimes God would record in Kings that the death of that king was like the death of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. In other words, the king followed in that same idolatry that Jeroboam set up, and even Jehu was a good king and destroyed Baal out of Israel, did not destroy those 2 golden calves, but died in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Those 2 things, those 2 golden calves, those idols, turned the hearts of Israel away from God Almighty and resulted in the destruction of the 10 northern tribes. So it's a terrible thing when a servant rules over a nation because he is going to eventually make a very stupid decision. I'll just show you one other thing, and then we'll make some application here that will really surprise you. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 8, there's another servant that takes a throne up there in the 10 northern tribes. All right? In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 8, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, now this is a servant now, conspired against him. And he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of the house of Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 20th and 7th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. That's a terrible thing. That's a tragedy that happened there. Now you say, what is that thing? What happened there? Well, what happened there is very simple. A servant took the throne. And when the servant takes the throne, he doesn't know how to handle the deal but to kill all the royal seed. All right? So those are some examples of bad things that happen when a servant reigns. But as we told you, these things are prophetic. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 9. We're looking for a servant that reigneth. Prophetically, we are going to find out something about the Antichrist who is going to reign. All right, in Genesis chapter 9, there is one nation of people that are servants, and that's because they were cursed that way by their grandfather Noah. All right, Genesis chapter 9, verse 25, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." All right, he's going to serve Shem in verse 26, and he's going to serve Japheth in verse 27, and he's going to servant of servants in verse 25. Canaan, a descendant of Ham, during the tribulation, one of the descendants of Canaan is going to rule as the Antichrist. And I'll give you some clues. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. All right, in Jeremiah chapter 48, look in verses 24 and 25. "Upon Kerioth, and upon Bozra, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far or near, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord." Okay, now, we've got Moabites. Somebody's arm is broken. He's a descendant of Moab. Okay? "And one of the cities in his area is Kerioth." Now, what this reminds you of is a man named Judas Iscariot. And I've told you before on two or three different broadcasts that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 17, and John chapter 17. He is the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 17. And what you've got is the devil incarnate in Judas Iscariot. All right, Judas Iscariot is transliterated from the Greek, from Hebrew, Judas Iscariot. In other words, Ish, the man of Kerioth, this city in Moab, Judas Iscariot. He's a man of Moab. He is the son of perdition, and his connection is to the Antichrist. Now go back to Genesis chapter 9. Go to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 10, and try to put it all together for you. I know it can be a little confusing. Genesis chapter 10, and look at verse 19. "And the border of the Canaanites was from Zidon, as thou comest unto Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha." So you've got here, in the line of this man, this descendant of Canaan, see, this descendant of Canaan, this Sodom and Gomorrah, this area that touches down there in that area of the Dead Sea that would be then linked to Moab, you've got these servants, you see, the Canaanites. "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be." Out of that area, you have a Canaanite descendant. You see what the deal is this. You're probably sitting there going, "What are you talking about? Where did Moab come from?" We studied this recently. Where did Moab come from? All right, Moab is a descendant of Lot, who had an incestual relationship with his daughter in a cave after he escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, the daughter was born to Lot and the wife that Lot took out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Where did his wife come from? She is a Canaanite, you see. And so, therefore, her daughter is of Canaanite descent, and Lot's son, Moab, by his daughter, the Moabite, the descendant of Canaan, is also a descendant of Canaan. In other words, his wife is a descendant of Canaan, his daughter is a descendant of Canaan, and his son, Moab, is a descendant of Canaan. And so the text that we're reading says, "The earth cannot bear it, it is disquieted when a servant reigneth." It is a prophecy then to tell you that the Antichrist, the Antichrist is going to have a connection to Canaan. He is going to be a Hamitic descendant through Canaan by virtue of Kerioth in Moab. You say, boy, that's shocking. Yeah, it is. It's pretty shocking. But it tells you, now if you go in there and look at what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Moab today, you're dealing with a guy in Kerioth that has a Syrian connection. Not a Syrian, but a Syrian connection. Well, that's not all. This thing gets better. All right? The earth cannot bear a servant when he reigneth. And that's true. The earth is not going to be able to bear up under the rule of the Antichrist, this descendant of Canaan, who is going to rule like Jeroboam did when he caused everybody to go into idolatry, like the Antichrist will do in Revelation chapter 13, when everybody has to worship an image. All right, the second thing the earth cannot bear is a fool filled with meat. All right, a man is subject to make foolish decisions over meat at a banquet. That's why earlier in Proverbs we have a warning in Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Well, I can think of a fool who was filled with meat. His name was Nabal. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to destroy David. He was opposed to David. And who is David? A type of Christ. Nabal would get drunk his own feast, but would not part with any food to feed the next reigning king, the king of kings over all the other kings of Judah, David. He was a fool filled with meat. You know how he died? He had a heart attack after he got drunk with wine. His heart smote him. 10 days later, he died. When you were reading with me in 1 Kings chapter 6 about Zimri wiping out all the family of Baasha, you know what Baasha was doing when Zimri came in and killed him? He was drinking himself drunk is what he was doing, and he died. You know what happens to men when they make decisions over wine and food at a banquet? They make stupid decisions. Well, let me tell you something. In the negotiations necessary to get the Antichrist in control, this descendant of Canaan, this servant who's going to reign in control, there will be banquets or a banquet to deceive. Look in Daniel chapter 11. In other words, it tells you that all these summits and peace conferences that are taking place are not going to result in world peace ever. They are going to result in world destruction. In other words, everything you're reading here is out of place. The servant reigning is out of place. And it is out of place for men to say that they're going to bring in peace when all they know how to do is fight war. Their very paid peacekeepers are soldiers with guns and bullets. All right, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 26, we're in the middle of the king of the north and the king of the south negotiating with each other. And a man that comes in who is a vile person, he comes in peaceably, obtains the kingdom with flatteries. So his big deal is peace in Daniel 11, 21 and Daniel 11, verse 24. All right, and look what they do. Yea, verse 26. Yea, they that feed the fool who eats the meat, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him. So they're sitting down at a banquet. The guy that's eating the portion of his meat is going to turn around and kill him. And his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. The feast results not in peace, but war. Why? Verse 27, both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Amazing. It's just a prophecy to let you know that all these summits and peace conferences result in nothing more than continual bloodshed. All right? Here's the next thing. An odious woman when she is married in verse 23. Earth can't bear an odious woman, a hateful, detestable woman when she's married. Well, you can, now that you see the way this prophecy is going, you can figure it out. The odious woman is Jezebel. She sought the rule her kingdom. She was the one that devised a way to have Naboth killed, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. She ruined the kingdom with Baal worship. She brought in fornication, and because Ahab was too weak to take control, she ran things. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." What does that sound like? You've got a little of that going on in the United States of America these days. Not a good deal. When the people are going down, women rule over them. The odious woman when she is married, a hateful and detestable woman when she's married, that's what the earth can't bear. Now, where did Jezebel come from? All right, 1 Kings chapter 16, look at verse 31. 1 Kings chapter 16, look at verse 31. This is a fascinating study, I'll grant you. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, "It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat." This is about Ahab now. Whose sins is he walking in? Jeroboam the son of Nebat, the servant who reigned, the one that brought in the golden calves. "That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria." Well, there you go. Idolatry is going to accompany the Antichrist rule in Revelation chapter 13. He is going to be married, and when he marries, he's going to marry an odious woman who is going to rule with him or control with him. Now, the Zidonian descendant that Ahab married, this Jezebel, that Zidonian descendant, you could just guess, if you had to, who she comes from when you go back to the boat and Noah and his descendants. If you guessed Canaan, you guessed right on the money. The first child this cursed Canaan has is a child named Zidon. And he is the father of the Zidonians from which Jezebel came. Her children will try to rejoin. In Jezebel's day, her children tried to rejoin Israel and Judah and put the two kingdoms back together again. And the whole bunch had to be destroyed by Jehu, who came in and even killed Jezebel and killed all of her descendants and all those Baal worshippers to clean that idolatry out of the land. An odious woman when she is married. The earth can't bear it. So a woman is going to be a very influential part of what the Antichrist is doing, just like Jezebel. You say, really? Absolutely. Turn with me quickly to Revelation chapter 2 and see where it's located in verse 20. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to do what? Commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols," the sun god, the worship of an idol, like you see in Revelation 13. Wow, this thing in Proverbs is loaded. The earth cannot bear a servant when he reigneth. All right, a Canaanite descendant on the throne of the world. "A fool when he's filled with meat, because he makes stupid decisions in his summits and peace conferences and gives away things that he can't afford to give away, like land of Israel for peace." How foolish. "An odious woman when she's married." This is going to be a very powerful, hateful, detestable woman that's going to help lead the world back into idolatry and into fornication, who's going to be very strong, and she's also going to have the connections to the cursed servant Canaan. All right, and then finally, the handmaid that is heir to her mistress, the earth can't stand. Well, there's a couple of them that are most notable in the Bible, Hagar being one. She was an heir to her mistress by lying with Abraham, and she had a son. Do you remember his name? If you say Ishmael, you are right on the money. And today, to this very day, right now, these Islamic extremists look to Ishmael to tie them back to Abraham. And the Bible says of Ishmael, he'll be a wild man and dwell in the presence of his brethren. Every man's hand shall be against him, and his hand shall be against every man. That is exactly what's going on today. The descendants in type of Ishmael, who come from the handmaid who was heir to her mistress, are tearing up and destroying God's people. The earth cannot bear that handmaid who is heir to her mistress. The other handmaid that is notable here is Bilhah in Genesis chapter 30, verse 6. Bilhah was given to Rachel as a, was it given to Leah as a servant or as a, a gift, but she's an heir to her mistress. And you know what she has? In Genesis chapter 30, verse 6, she has a child. God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice, hath given me a son from Bilhah her maid. Therefore call she his name Dan. Dan. You say, what's a big deal with Dan? Well, go to Genesis chapter 49 in verse 17 and 16. Dan, these are the prophecies over Dan given by Jacob. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. He's left out of the protection of those that are marked in their forehead in Revelation chapter 7. Did you know that? Do you know why? Look at verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent. We studied about him yesterday in verse 19. A serpent, by the way. In other words, this Canaanite descendant who is going to be the Antichrist is also going to have Jewish blood. As the man that trained me said, he is going to be a Syrian Jew. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, that his rider shall fall backward. Guess what? Verse 18 says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. When that takes place, everybody's looking for the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the Jewish connection of the man from Kerioth, Judas, the Jew, a man from Kerioth who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your connection to the Antichrist, a Jewish Syrian descendant because of the handmaid that is heir to her mistress, like Bilhah and her son Dan and Hagar and her son Ishmael. What an incredible piece of prophecy for us in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 to 23.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.